You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak.
All members vote or desire to vote.
Members, this budget is not our preference.
Share the pain.
We've got to stop the game.
No baloney.
Taxes, taxes, taxes.
The next step is the governor's.
Only the good Lord knows.
Mr. Secretary, call the roll.
Yes, that is the sound for Capital Chat, which might make you think that today is Friday. However, all month long, Capital Public Radio has some wonderful special programming on Fridays. So during March, Capital Chat will move to Thursday. And just to let you know, tomorrow a documentary about ecological threats to the San Francisco Bay will air in place of Insight. So let's welcome Kevin Yamamura, the Sacramento Bee's state budget and politics reporter, in studio with us today for Capital Chat. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Is there any buzz at the Capitol? I know this isn't the typical conversation, but about the arena, because the legislatures are here, are entertained here, spend money here.
Yeah, I can't say I've actually taken the temperature of folks around the Capitol, but certainly lobbyists do take clients to Kings games and to arena events. Now, and as far as the legislature goes, we know obviously they represent all parts of the state. So I remember last year when Anaheim was in the running that one of the legislators from Orange County actually had a sign on his door that said something to the effect of Anaheim Kings, and maybe he's not so happy, but nonetheless,
It has to register. You know, I know they're paying attention to what's happening.
I mean, the pro tem, Daryl Steinberg, is from Sacramento.
Of course. Well, to the politics under the dome, and yesterday Assembly Democrats voted against Governor Brown's proposed cuts, the CalWORKs cuts. That was a big vote. Can you talk about the impact?
Yeah, it's an early vote. There was a huge rally yesterday at the Capitol with folks advocating on behalf of the welfare-to-work program, CalWORKs. The governor has proposed almost $1 billion in reductions to that program, in part by reducing the amount of time that adults can receive aid, also by reducing grant levels for some of the recipients. And these have the Democrats in the legislature so far have suggested that they're not going to go along with them. Yesterday was it was the first formal gesture, I suppose, although the real guts of the budget won't get hashed out probably until June. But there was a subcommittee hearing, which is the first step, and they voted to, at least for now, reject some of the major changes to the program.
You referenced the budget. The legislative analyst is shooting all kinds of holes in the budget forecast right now, saying there are a few billion dollars that don't seem to jive between his numbers and theirs.
Yeah, the legislative analyst is this nonpartisan fiscal review office, and so they did a new forecast based on updated data that just came out this past Monday. And so there's been a disagreement between the legislative analyst's office and the Department of Finance over capital gains primarily. It's been a very volatile source of income for the state. And so in downturns, it drops very quickly. And in times when there's a recovery, it can increase quickly, but it depends on the pace of the recovery. And so right now, the two offices are trying to project how much money residents will see in capital gains, stocks, and other investments, and particularly among the wealthy set. This is a little bit complicated by the fact that the governor has and other folks have proposed an additional tax on the wealthy, which can add some of the volatility because they're the ones who generate most of the money from capital gains. But the divide is about $6.5 billion over two fiscal years in a budget that's around $90 billion that they have to figure out.
And the legislative analyst's office does say it is notoriously difficult to decide. A lot of people want everybody to wait until the end of April when the tax numbers are more clear. And we also have this Facebook stock sale in here that it's so interesting to be looking at the budget and talking about a social networking site stock sale making such a big difference.
Yeah, it is interesting. And they actually they called it the Facebook effect in a report earlier this year. And I haven't seen it before where they actually look at one company like that, but it is obviously such a huge factor.
$2 billion in tax payments through June of next year. Is that right?
Yeah, $2 billion. That's what the Legislative Analyst's Office estimates, and that would be taxes paid once some of the Facebook employees and early investors cash in. So that is also hard to project, but Facebook is based in the Silicon Valley, and everybody in the Capitol is hoping that this helps our budget situation.
In that report that did come out, and then we're going to move on to another subject, though, there was an interesting phrase in there, pulling up a piece of the sentence. It says, California's economy is now clearly improving in many important ways, which was great to see in print in a report from that bipartisan analyst. It says, nevertheless, significant impediments block the state's path to a more robust recovery.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the signs, the data that they've looked at suggests to them that things are on a good path forward, although it's just who knows what the pace of that recovery will be and how it will affect the particular revenue streams the state depends on.
We are in Capital Chat right now on a Thursday on Insight, and Sacramento Bee reporter Kevin Yamamura is in studio with us. A field poll gave us some interesting information. The highest support for gay marriage ever in California by a pretty wide margin. And this was a big change from the vote on Prop 8, which when it occurred was a close 52-47%. And now the numbers, Kevin, are 25 points apart.
Yeah, Field says that it's the largest margin since they've been measuring this over the last three plus decades, 59% in support, 34% opposed to gay marriage. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it, just in 08, voters did pass Prop 8, which was a ban on such marriage. And so it's quite a swing. At the time in 08, Field poll did find, even then, that a majority of voters did support same-sex marriage, but yet the vote came against marriage. So it's not necessarily a clear translation into what the electorate will do once they get into the voting booth. But this 59-34% margin is pretty wide, and as the pollster said, it would be pretty difficult now, he thinks, at least, or to get a similar measure passed.
And the pollster was asked why. Why do you think there's been such a change? Did you see any of his comments?
I from what I had seen, I didn't cover the story, although my colleagues did. And from his comments that I read, he seemed to suggest that voters at least seem to have some faith that the court is acting appropriately. Proposition 8 right now is being reviewed. The U.S. Appeals Court earlier this month upheld a ruling that overturned Prop 8, overturned the ban. And a lot of people think that it's going to be headed for the Supreme Court.
Well, the court battles give people a lot of information from a lot of different outlets. And it could be contributing to either awareness, opinion, ideas, and it's really hard to know. But I did see him say exactly what you said, that the court battles probably are elevating a lot of information out there for people to make decisions about. A different subject. The president of the California Fish and Game Commission, Daniel Richards, he's been in the news for an Idaho hunting trip, which prompted calls for his resignation. So a quick summary of that story, which I saw ended up in the LA Times.
Yeah, it seems that the president of the Fish and Game Commission, Dan Richards, he shot a mountain lion up in Idaho.
Which is legal.
Which is legal there, but has not been legal in California since 1971. So almost, I think, 40 Assembly Democrats signed a letter saying that he should resign from his position. He has defended himself and said that it was perfectly legal in Idaho, that he doesn't have to abide by all of California's laws when he goes to another state or jurisdiction.
It seems like there's a lot of discussion about hunter, conservationist, preservationist leader with a high-level position in the state, all of those factors coming into play here, not just whether he went on a hunting trip in Idaho. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are, it's just, they're evaluating what his appropriate role should be. He oversees all the various duties that you mentioned, or the roles that you mentioned. So it's just a conversation about what is appropriate for somebody who's a state appointee.
Well, it's always nice to have you with us on Insight. What's on your assignment list? What's coming up? What are you aiming for next to write for?
Well, just keep, as you said, I follow the budget and state fiscal issues and state politics. So I'm just trying to evaluate where lawmakers may go. As we talked about, they had a hearing this week on CalWORKs cuts. They're going to be examining the more parts of the governor's budget. I'm also looking at some higher education issues.
And a lot of bills are in motion right now, so I don't know how you decide what rises to the top on any given day. But
fortunately, I have good colleagues that help cover all these issues. So,
well, Kevin Yamamura, thank you for joining us on Capital Chat on a Thursday. We'll see you here again in studio sometime.
Thanks, Beth.
Have a great day. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio, and in a few minutes, we'll hear from Jack Gallagher.